Well, in case you didn't know, Noah is 600 years, 2 months, and 10 days old. God has come to Noah and he said, Noah, it's time for you, your boys, their wives, and your wife, it's time for you to get into the boat. Now, I want you to remember that this has come after 120 years of building an ark. And God told them that his judgment was going to take place and it was going to happen at his specific time. And now is the time. God's patience has come to an end. And now he says, Noah, get in the boat. And so Noah and his family get in the boat. And then the Bible says that God closes the door. Well, let's look at what happens next, okay? Here's what happens next. 7 days later, the rain began to fall. The rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. The fountains of the great deep, evidently there were subterranean caverns, also burst forth with water, the Bible tells us. The floodwaters spread across the entire earth, covering the mountains to a depth of 20 feet. All the living creatures on dry land were wiped out. The flood covered the earth for 150 days. As the floodwaters receded, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Okay, that's near Turkey and the Russian border. 74 days later, the tops of the mountains became visible. 40 days later, Noah sent out a raven. Noah then sent out a dove on three occasions. The third time, it did not return. 2 weeks later, he saw dry land. Noah stayed in the ark another 57 days until the Lord told him to leave. Noah was 601 years, 2 months, and 27 days old when he left the ark. Now, if you add all of that together, here's what I want you to know. Noah and his family was in the ark for 1 year and 17 days. That's a long time, isn't it? To be trapped in a big barge with a bunch of, at times, I'm sure, smelly animals. And I wanted to remind you that this was no cruise ship. There was no swimming pool and there was no spa. There wasn't anything like that. It was just Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their three wives, and a whole bunch of animals. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I've read many times that the sea can be a very lonely place. Think about this. Here's this massive ark, and it's just bobbing up and down on the waters. It's being tossed to and fro by the winds. No one can see the sun through the clouds. There's no course to follow. There's no destination. And this boat just seems to float endlessly what on seems to be the biggest ocean that has ever been seen. And you know what the worst part about it is? It's been well over a year that Noah has heard from God. Can you relate? Have you ever gone through a storm in your life? A time in your life when you felt like you were abandoned by God? You wonder deep in your soul, has God forgotten about me? And your prayers just seem to bounce off of the ceiling. My friends, the Bible is very clear about the fact that we will all go through storms in life, right? And there are different kinds of storms. There are storms of judgment, like what Noah and the people are enduring. There are times of trials and tribulations. There is sometimes just life, but we all go through storms. And I believe that the message that God has for us is critical. because I know that there are many of you, and some of you who are even watching online, and even right now, you're in the midst of the storm. Stand with me out of respect for God's word as I read from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and his sons that were with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbows appear in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, every time I look to the sky after a storm, I see the reminder of your promise. And for that, I say thank you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin by going back to Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, okay? I want you to read this and live with me, okay? Here it goes. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now, I want to take a moment, and I want you to look at this verse, and there are just simply three words that I want to point out this morning, okay? And those three words are this: God remembered Noah. I want to say that again. God remembered Noah. Do you know what one of the greatest fears of mankind is? Of all humanity, you know what one of the greatest fears is? That we will be forgotten. Did you know that? I mean, think about this. Think about when you've gone out to a cemetery. You see some that are very small markers, and then sometimes you see these huge statues. What are they doing? They want us to remember, oh, okay, so that's who that was. One of the things that Lori and I do in the summertime when we go back to South Dakota, we go out and we visit the grave of my grandparents. And one of the things that I always remember is I've looked at every grave marker in that entire cemetery. It's not that big of a cemetery. Half the people in there I think I'm related to. But I see how many the dates go back to, and then I love to read what they say about the individual. But as I look at my grandparents' grave, just over to the left there, there's a grave marker of a very young man who was killed, I believe, in a car accident. And if you look at his grave marker, you will see everything about him. There's still pictures of him, pictures of him with his dog, pictures of him with his girlfriend, pictures of all of his accomplishments that he made in football and in track. There's flowers all around. There's these different kinds of I don't know, apparatus that when the sun shines on them, at nighttime, they glow in the dark. It's kind of spooky. But I want you to know something. Why is all of that there? Because they don't want to be forgotten. I want you to know that when the Bible says God remembered Noah, please hear me. It does not mean that God had forgotten Noah. What it means is this: in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the flood, God was faithful to his promise. And what was God's promise to Noah and his family? To save them by showing mercy. And that's still the same promise that God gives to all of us. God's promise is he will save us, and he does it by showing mercy to us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He loves us. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. That faith, that ark saves us, right? In the Bible, there are many examples of men who were afraid and they didn't want to be forgotten. Some of them were great heroes in the Bible. Look at this. In Psalm 42, it says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Do you remember even what Jesus said on the cross just before he died? He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here's what I want you to remember. In the midst of judgment, God always remembers mercy. In the midst of the storm that you're in, and not every storm is judgment, but whatever it is that you may be going through, I want you to know God always remembers mercy. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you three ways that God remembered Noah and his family. And it's the same three ways, my friend, that God remembers you in the midst of your storms. Here's the first one. The Bible says God sent a wind. God sent a wind. When the work of God is accomplished, God will take the flood away. When the work of God is finished, God will remove your storm. And here's one of the things I want you to remember. This is a promise of God. You can bank on this. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through the storm, remember this promise. God promises for those who belong to him that he will bring good to all that he is doing. Through the storm, he will bring good into your life for those who are called according to his purpose and his plans. You got to stand on that promise and you got to dig in. And no matter what it is that I'm going through, God's promise is this: he will bring good from it. It doesn't mean it's going to end up good, but he will bring good from it. Now, I want you to look at that word wind there for just a moment, okay? That word wind means spirit. It's the same word that God uses in Genesis chapter 1 when he says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God didn't just send a breath. He just didn't send a puff. He sent his Spirit. And the Bible tells us that that Spirit hovers over the waters. He hovers over the storm. So my dear friends in Christ, for those of you who are in the middle of the storm right now, I want you to remember, the waters may seem deep. You may feel like at times that you are going under and you can't, you're about to take your last breath. You don't know how you're going to make it. I want you to be reminded that God's promise is that He sends His Spirit to hover over you. All we have to do is cry out to Him. But I know what you're thinking, but Pastor Bob, I've been crying out to God and it just feels like He's not hearing me. You know, the word hovered, it means that God has placed. I want to say that again. You got to grab this. In your storm, God sends the wind, the Spirit, and it hovers. In other words, it is placed. Where do you think it's placed? It's placed over you. You know what the job of the Holy Spirit is? The job of the Holy Spirit is to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you make it through the storm. But you have to call on Him, and you have to know how to call on Him. You see, Noah and his family were at the very end of their rope. It had been a long time since they had heard from God. And they're asking, God, where are you? It seems like everything is just bouncing off the ceiling. I don't know if we're going to make it anymore. Does God hate us? I was working for you for 120 years. I've been faithful to you. And now I'm crying out to you, God, where are you? But I want to remind you of what the Bible says. The Spirit of God is hovering over you. Now, I want you to, some of you may be able to relate to this, some of you may not. When Warren and I were dating, I was probably about 6'5". Okay, so I grew 2 inches because of her great cooking. This way. Now, I want you to know something, that when Lori and I were dating, in her hallway that went to the bathroom, there was this little, it was a light bulb, and then there was a covering over it, and at the end of that covering was a little point. The ceiling was pretty low in there. And you know what? God has given me the gift of knowing when things are very close to my head, okay? And so what happened, I remember one time early on, I went through there, and I just right over the top of my head, and even kind of cut the top of my head open. Man, that's smart. You know what I did every time I went through there afterwards? I'd come there and I'd go like this. Many times people will say to me, hey, Pastor Bob, I watch you walk through doors. You always kind of duck your head a little bit. Duh. But you know why I do that, right? Because I don't want to get smacked in the forehead. I know what that feels like. That's happened before. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully to me. That's how we are at times when we go through storms. God sends His Spirit into our lives. He hovers over us. And what do we try and do? We duck from the Spirit. What do you mean by that, Pastor Bob? We try to avoid the Spirit. And when we avoid the Spirit, we try and do it by finding our own way through the storm. But the Bible tells us that God sends us His Spirit. And that's what He did with Noah. He sent a wind. Here's the second thing that we learn. God gave Noah a sign, didn't He? I want you to think about this for a moment. The very first thing that Noah did is he sent out a raven, right? What happened to the raven? Did the raven come back? No, it did not. Anybody know why? Because ravens live on rotting flesh. And I'm sure there was plenty of food for the raven during that time. He never came back. What did Noah do next? He sent a dove. What happened? The dove came back. What did he do next? He sent the dove out again. This time the dove came back with what? A leaf, right? The third time, Noah, once again, he sent out the dove. And what happened? The dove never came back. Here's my question for you this morning. So why did Noah send out the birds? The answer is this. Noah knew when the storm began. He knew when the flood started. Just like all of us, we know when the storm begins. Sometimes we see the clouds. Sometimes we see the evidence of the storm coming. Sometimes it happens immediately. We get a phone call. The doctor gives us a report. We know when the storm begins, right? But Noah did not know when the storm would end. And isn't that the question that we always ask? When will this storm end? We can make it through anything if we know how long it's going to go, can we not? When you go to the doctor and you're going to get your shot, the doctor says, this may hurt a little for a little while. Or when you go to the dentist says to me, okay, you're going to feel a little sensation and then everything will go numb. Oh, Lord, please bring me numb. And then as they work on you, what does he always say? If you feel any pain, lift your finger and I'll give you some more medicine. Why? Because I need to know how long my pain, my discomfort is going to last. You see, the problem with Noah and the problem with you and I is this. It's the not knowing that wears on us. It's not knowing when the storm is going to end. That's what drives us crazy. And so what we try and do is rather go and grow through the storm. We try and avoid the storm. And I've learned this in my life. Maybe some of you can relate to me. Don't waste a good crisis. Because God wants to take you through the storm, but he wants to grow you through the storm. And so I know this sounds crazy, but embrace the storm. Live in the moment. Ask God, what is it that I'm supposed to learn from this? Because here's my promise. The storm will end. The storm will end. But it's going to end in God's time, not in your time. It's going to end not a minute before and not a minute later than what God ordained, because God's timing is perfect. And so when you're in the storm, when you're going through those difficult times and you're trying to duck and you're trying to avoid, I want you to remember, live in the present and do the things that God has taught you to do. Which leads us to the third one. God spoke to Noah again. He spoke to him again. Here's what I know about the storms. Do not doubt in the dark what God has said in the light. I'm going to say that again. Please don't forget this. Do not doubt in the dark what God has promised in the light. Do not doubt in the middle of the storm what God has promised you when life was good. Now, I want to go back and I want to just kind of share with you something. I brought a piece of bread with me, and I did this because this is my life. These are breadcrumbs. This is how my life is. And what I do is when I pray and ask God, give me a sign. And you know what I've learned in my life? Is that as the spiritual leader of my family, it is critical that I am in the Word, that I am worshiping my God, that I am reading the Psalms, that I am singing songs of praise in the good times and in the bad times, that I am expecting and I am looking for the crumbs. Why? Because my family is depending on me. And I pray and I ask, I say, God, I need to have a breadcrumb. I need you to show me. I need you to give me the strength for this moment. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us strength in the moment. He doesn't give us the strength right away to endure everything. He gives us the strength for the moment to get through this time now until the next time. But here's what we do. The Bible tells us God sent the Spirit to us. He's hovering overhead, but what do? We duck. We try and get away from the Spirit. And God says, Bob, look at me. Keep being in the Word. Keep reading your devotions. Keep going to church. Keep praising me in the good times and in the bad times. Because if you're not doing those things, if you're not being faithful, you're going to miss the breadcrumbs. You see, here's what I find, is that when my life is turned upside down and I'm going through the storms, that's when I gotta dig in. That's when I get up earlier to read my Bible. That's when, instead of reading one chapter, I may read two or three. That's when, instead of reading one devotion, I may read two or three devotions. Why is it? It's so I do not miss the breadcrumbs, because the breadcrumbs are what get me through the moment. Does everybody understand that? But see, here's what we do. We try and avoid the breadcrumbs. We avoid the Spirit. What do? We worry. We try and come up with our own ways to solve the problem. We do whatever we can to avoid what God is doing into our lives. And God is saying this to us. I've sent my Spirit to you. He's hovering right overhead. Dig in. Be in the Word. And receive the breadcrumbs, the strength that I'm giving you to take the next step. And I want to tell you something. In our lives, we've gone through some storms lately. And I'm telling you, God has not disappointed, because every step along the way, he's given me a breadcrumb, and he's done it through his Word, through devotions, through prayer, but he's given me the strength so that I can strengthen those who are around me in the comfort of knowing that God is true to his promises. When you're going through the storm like Noah was going through, it's not the time to run away from God or to duck away from him. It's the time to dig in. It's the time to allow his Spirit to hover over you directly and begin to receive the strength that he has for you. Now, you remember what happened after the flood. Remember, God said to all of his people, you get a do-over. You get a do-over. Do you remember that? That's what we talked about when I was growing up. I remember, oh man, I slipped on that one. I need a do-over. And God says to all of mankind, guess what? You get a do-over. And so here's what he does. Once again, with Noah and his family, he goes to the very back of the beginning of the Bible, and he tells him, here's the rules. And here's the first thing he tells him. He tells him, be fruitful and multiply. That's what he said to Adam and Eve, didn't he? Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. In other words, bring about godly offspring. But now he gives them something new. And here's what he gives them that's new. He gives permission to hunt animals for food and also to raise animals for meat. Things have changed now after the flood. And he says, Noah, not only do I want you to be fruitful and multiply, I'm now giving you the animals. But he doesn't stop there. In verses 4 through 7, then, as he's speaking with Noah, this is what he tells him. Respect life. There's been a murder, you remember? And God says, Noah, respect life. What he's saying is that don't eat the blood. The blood can't be a part of your food. Why? Because the life is found in the blood. The blood is the pulse of life. God even goes as far as to say this, a life for a life. Someone takes a life, they give up their life. God wants us to respect life, and that also includes speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Life begins in not just outside of the womb, but life begins at conception. And you know what God says? That's a life. I'm not arguing with God. God said that's a life, and he says in his word, respect that life. All right, now, what else did God do? And I want to bring this to a close now. God gave Noah a sign, right? He gave him a promise, and here's what we see. Here's the promise. Never again will God flood the entire earth. And then here's the sign. God placed a rainbow in the sky as a sign of the promise, okay? This is one of the first covenants in the Bible. It's called the Noahic covenant. There's two things I want you to know about this. Here's the first one. This is the first covenant that is no conditions for you and I to meet. God promises, I will meet all the conditions. And what are the conditions? Never again, never again, never again, he says it three times, will I destroy the entire earth with a flood. And then the second thing he does is this. He says, and I'm going to give you a sign. And the sign of my promise is the rainbow. I want to close with this. The rainbow teaches us that everything is under God's control. How many of you love to look up and see a rainbow? Sometimes you see a double rainbow. I don't know what you think when you see the rainbow, but what I always think is the same thing what the scriptures just taught us. I'm looking on this side of the rainbow, and God is looking from the rainbow on the other side. Our eyes are both glued on the same thing. And the rainbow is a reminder that in the midst of everything that's going on in the world, God is still in control. And on God's side, God looks at that rainbow, and what does he do? He continues to show his mercy to the world, but that day is coming. Well, that will end, right? I want to remind you, and I want to close with what God didn't say. God never said there wouldn't be storms. He never said there wouldn't be trials, there wouldn't be tribulations. He said there will be difficult times. Now, here's what I want to remind you of. You know when we see rainbows the most? After the storm. We see the rainbows after the storm. And it's a reminder once again to all of us that yes, there are trials, that yes, there are tribulations, yes, life is hard, but I'm reminding you that even though you go through storms, I am still in control, and I am continuing to make sure my promises are true. And what's God's promise to all of those who call on his name? He has given eternal life. That's the joy that we have. That's what we enjoy because of what God has done for each of us. And we celebrated it this morning through Holy Communion. Just as Pastor George said earlier, God loves you. And as you go through the storms, he's never going to leave you. He's going to hover right over you. Dig in. Be in his word. Worship him in the good times and in the difficult times. And then watch God come through. And then last of all, but not least, give him the glory. Give him the glory. Don't make a bargain with God and then go back on your bargain. Because I know there's a tendency many times to bargain with God through the storm, but in the storm and at the end of the storm, give God the glory.